Spirit, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit is with us and he is in us. And his presence is going to produce spiritual fruit. So we need to see some evidence of him working in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. And then we spent several weeks talking about the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit grants gifts to believers, and those are supernatural abilities of comprehension and capability and communication, and we believe those are still available today because the Holy Spirit gives out his gifts. And then the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the pursuit of the Holy Spirit. Let me be clear. As a believer, the Holy Spirit is with you already, but there's more, okay? We should also look for a significant event of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then as I said, because we leak sometimes, and other times the Holy Spirit flows out through us, we need to keep on being filled. So we need the Holy Spirit. Now today I'm going to wrap up our series and let's talk about the people of the Holy Spirit. To be the people of the Holy Spirit simply means that we are filled with him, we are growing spiritual fruit, we are operating in the gifts of the Spirit that he gives, and we keep on pursuing more of the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. That's what it means to be people of the Spirit. I want to be a person of the Spirit. How about you? Okay? Now, we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 11 this morning. We're going to look at a couple different passages in Isaiah. And both of these have to do with Jesus, who, of course, is our great example. But Isaiah chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, here's what it says. And it's prophesying about Jesus Christ. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord." Now we know that Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit for ministry, and Jesus is always our example, the ultimate example. We want to be more like Jesus, right? Okay, if you don't know that, then you need to get on the bus. We want to be more like Jesus, okay? Now, since we're to become more and more Christ-like, we should also operate in the power of the Holy Spirit and be anointed for ministry. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and the anointing, so do we. Even more so, I would say. Okay? Now, verse 2 describes the Spirit. We're going to kind of elaborate on these things a little bit. We want these things, as the Holy Spirit continues to fill us, we want these same things in our life. And so let's talk about the attributes of the people of the Spirit. We should have a spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is discerning. It's making right choices at the right time. Don't you wish you could make excellent choices every single time? Don't you wish? I mean, we struggle with that. Decisions, decisions, decisions. But you need the Holy Spirit because he helps us discern what is right, and he gives us wisdom to make right choices. He is the Spirit of wisdom. So if you need wisdom, you need more of the Spirit. Okay. J.I. Packer says that wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. That's the spirit of wisdom. Bill Gothard says, "Wisdom is seeing life from God's perspective." I really like that. And the Holy Spirit has the mind of the Lord, and so he helps us see from that perspective. We need the spirit of wisdom. As people of the Spirit, we ought to have wisdom. And it comes from the Spirit. Now here's some words of wisdom. Some of them are kind of fun. Would you like just some good wisdom? Okay. Here's the first one. Never wrestle with a pig. You're both going to get all dirty, and he likes it. And you might know some people like that. They kind of like to tangle a little bit, and they like it. All right. Here's another one. It's better to sleep on what you plan to do than to be kept awake by what you have done. Here's an oldie. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Oh, I like this one too. A stiff neck usually supports an empty head. Oh, you probably heard this one, but it's good too. Genius has limits. Stupidity does not. And you can learn from the nail. Its head keeps it from going too far. Okay, it's actually pretty good. And here's another one that's really relevant in our modern world. If 50 million people say a foolish thing, it is still a foolish thing. Okay, words of wisdom. Somebody else said, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others. Nobody lives long enough to make them all himself. So we learn from each other, but the spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit in us, supernaturally, can provide us wisdom to make those right choices. And then he's the spirit of understanding. This is insight and knowledge. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the person without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. There are some things that we can only understand by the Spirit. There are some things like that. There are spiritual matters that only make sense if you're filled with the Spirit. I mean, if you understand anything about kingdom dynamics, a lot of kingdom the way the kingdom works doesn't make sense in our natural mind. But when you get to flowing with the Spirit, it begins to open up and make sense to us. And knowing God's will comes through the Spirit. Colossians 1:9 says, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How many want to know God's will? Absolutely. What comes through the Spirit? He's the spirit of understanding. John Powell says, God gives the believer a new set of inner eyes to see what he could not see before. A new set of inner ears to hear what he could not hear before. See, that's the Spirit working in us. Sometimes you see something or you just sense something that you wouldn't otherwise know. It's the Spirit. And he's the spirit of counsel as well. This involves making good decisions, but it's also about giving good advice. As people of the Spirit, we should be good resources of advice to our friends and family. Do your friends and family come to you asking for advice? That ought to be the way it is, and you ought to have good advice because you've got the spirit of counsel. Somebody said the trouble with good advice is that it usually interferes with your plans. Very often. And that's why a lot of times people don't seek advice, because they kind of already made up their mind. You know what I'm saying? And now here's some good advice about giving good advice. Advice is like snow. The softer it falls, the deeper it goes. That's wisdom. Somebody's looking for advice, don't try to jam it down their throat, but gently present it to them. Spirit of counsel. And then there's the spirit of power. This is strength and valor and bravery. This ought to be who we are. Psalm 46, 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. You see, God is always with us, and we have the spirit of power. There's nothing to fear. I know a lot of things in the world today look fearful and seems to be becoming more fearful for Christians. That's the way our world is kind of turning right now. But the spirit of power makes us brave in spite of those circumstances. You know, the disciples ran in fear when Jesus was arrested and crucified. But after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were brave and bold, and other people took note. It changed them. The Spirit enables us to live victoriously and reminds us of Christ's ultimate victory over the enemy. Have you read the end of the book? Jesus wins. Bernard of Clairvaux says, only by desertion can we be defeated. With Christ and for Christ, victory is certain. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And I want you to know this. God wants you to be a victor, not a victim. And the Spirit gives us power and bravery. And then we come to the Spirit of knowledge. This is perception and skill. And I believe that Christians ought to be skilled workers. Okay? We ought to know or perceive what our boss or clientele needs. And since we know we are in reality working for God and not men, we ought to be powerfully motivated to be excellent in all that we do. Because we're really working for God. I think it's a worthy goal to be the most skilled person in your profession. Whatever line of work you're in, I think as a believer, you're working for God, so you want to be the best at whatever it is. I believe that's godly. Be the best you can be. And then we come to the spirit of the fear of the Lord. This is reverence and awe. It also talks about delighting in the fear of the Lord. And I noticed as I was studying that some translations actually say, instead of delight in the fear of the Lord, it says quick in understanding. And so I had to dig into that a little bit. And I found that the language there literally, originally, has something to do with the sense of smell. Okay? So it's like catching a scent, like a hound dog catches a scent. Okay? And so if you follow the analogy, hounds are the first to be aware of something because of their keen sense of smell. Okay? You know, literally, a bloodhound, their sense of smell is like thousands of times stronger than ours. Okay? So they're the first to be aware of something. And then when they catch a strong scent, they get excited to go after it. Any of you ever worked around hound dogs? Okay, and I don't mean I'm nothing but a hound dog. I mean a hound dog. Okay? Dogs that hunt by scent. They catch the scent and they get excited and they go after it. And so I say, as people of the Spirit, we should be like that. Catch the scent of the Holy Spirit and then joyfully pursue him. Delight in the fear of the Lord. And this grows out of our fear and reverence for God. The more we hold God in high esteem and in awe, then we long for more of him. We pursue him and we're sensitive and we're catching that scent. God's at work here. Where's he going? I'm going after him. That's the idea. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And with this kind of spirit, we follow the example of Christ. These are attributes that we ought to have as people of the Spirit. Now let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. We'll just look at a few verses here in Isaiah 61. Jesus actually quoted this, or paraphrased it, you might say, in Luke chapter 4. But the original is here in Isaiah chapter 61. And it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Jesus quotes this in Luke 4, and he starts with this phrase, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." We want God's Spirit to be on us as well. Again, we want to be more like Jesus, And so we ought to be doing the things that he did. He said the Spirit was on him so that he could do these things. And these ought to be the things we do. And so let's now talk about the activity of the people of the Spirit. What sort of things should we be doing if we're people of the Spirit? And the first one is this: proclaim good news. We should be proclaiming good news. Talk with authority about salvation and the kingdom of God. That's what it means. If you're a believer, you know how good God is, and you're going to want to tell other people about it. In fact, the Holy Spirit will compel you to tell the good news. So let me turn that on its head just for a moment. If you don't have any drive at all to share the good news with somebody else, then you need to get filled up on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is going to make you want to tell other people. It's the way it is. Ralph Washington Stockman says, a preacher is one who leads men from what they want to what they need. And people need the Lord. So we need to proclaim the good news. Somebody else said, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if you have to. That is true, but I add to it, but definitely use words, okay? You have to use the words and tell people. Proclaim the good news. Jesus was anointed for this, and we are as well, to bind up the brokenhearted. That's speaking of emotional healing. Psalm 34:18 expresses God's heart. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And here in Isaiah, it adds these phrases to comfort those who mourn. It talks about gladness instead of mourning and praise instead of despair. That's God's heart, to bind up the brokenhearted. There are many problems out there in the world, but Jesus is the answer to them all. He can do more in a moment than doctors and therapists can do in years. That is a fact. And as Spirit-filled believers, we can introduce people to Jesus, who is the ultimate healer. And he can bind up their broken hearts. And then another thing we ought to be busy doing is proclaim freedom for the captives. This is deliverance from the enemy's control. You know, the enemy's had a lot of influence in this world. He has. But we can proclaim freedom from that. Romans 8:2 says, through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The way of this world is the law of sin and death. But the Spirit can set us free from that. People don't have to live a miserable life of sin and be destined for hell. They can be set free, and we can show them the way. This next verse, John 8:36, was quoted already earlier this morning. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. There's true freedom in Christ. People need to understand that Christianity is not about a strict, not a set of strict rules or boring rituals. That's kind of people's concepts out there. It's just a bunch of rules and rituals. I don't want any part of that. But rather, Christianity is about a vibrant relationship and even an adventure with Jesus Christ. And that is freeing. I get to follow along and partner with Jesus as he's at work. That sounds fun. Rather than, okay, here's my list. Okay, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. What can I do? You know, it's a relationship. It's an adventure with the Lord, following his lead. That makes life fun. And then we're called to proclaim release from darkness. This is spiritual sight. People's eyes can be opened to the truth. Let me tell you, this world as we know it today is not the way it was meant to be. Okay? The enemy wants to keep people in darkness and thinking that this life is all that there is. Okay? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. But the truth is that Jesus came to rescue people from the darkness that has overtaken this world. You can find that in Colossians 1:13. And even believers need more light on the subject of God's kingdom. In Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays that our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope and the inheritance that we have in God's kingdom. Hope and inheritance. Did you catch that last one? Inheritance in God's kingdom. And Daniel 7:27 basically says that in the end, the saints, that's you and me, if you're a believer, you're a saint, the saints will be running the whole place. That's what Daniel 7:27 says. And 1 Peter 2:9 declares that as believers, we are called out of this spiritual darkness and that we are actually royalty. That's what the scripture says. If you're a believer, you're part of a royal family. And the Spirit reminds us of these truths and enables others to see the truth as well. And so we proclaim release from darkness. And when Jesus quoted this in Luke's gospel, he said, releasing the oppressed. And that implies healing. In fact, a little bit later in the chapter, after he had made these quotes, they brought people to Jesus. All had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. So this includes not only the freedom of the gospel which we preach, but the deliverance from physical ailments. We should expect to see real healings when we minister and pray with people because the Holy Spirit is in us. Should. It's one of the spiritual gifts. It's what Jesus did, and he wants us to follow his example. So there, we ought to expect healings when we pray for people. We should. And I'm lingering a little bit because I personally, and I think a lot of people, have the experience of you've prayed for different kinds of healings and you haven't always seen what you were praying for. And so we can be discouraged. But we've got to stand on the truth of God's word. Jesus is the healer. He came to heal. And he's anointed us with the same spirit. And so we pray and should expect healings. Now, in the end, we trust God no matter what happens, okay? But we should go in expecting when we pray for someone, they're going to get healed. Not just kind of, well, I cross my fingers and hope maybe they'll get healed. No, with expectation. We're praying for you. You're going to get healed. I'm preaching to myself. And you too. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, Paul says, my message and my preaching were not just with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. That has become the theme of my prayers for this year, 2019. God, we are asking for demonstrations of power. Healings, miracles, things that don't make sense in the natural. It happened in Jesus' day. It happened with the Apostle Paul. And it was proclaimed that we would be anointed with the same Spirit. So I'm looking for the same stuff today. And then, as people of the Spirit, we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is speaking of God's grace and mercy, his salvation. You know, we can tell them and show them his love, his grace, and his mercy. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. This is one of the most common descriptions of God you'll find in the Bible. People have a lot of ideas about what God might be like, but Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, actually is one of the most common descriptions of God. And here's what it says. This is when he passed in front of Moses, and he proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Praise the Lord. Doesn't that shatter the images that our society wants to say God is like? God's just up there waiting to thump you because you've been such a bad person. That's not what God says about himself. He's compassionate and loving and forgiving. That's who God is. And so we proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And I want you to notice the contrast. It's a year of the Lord's favor and only a day of his vengeance. Okay? Yes, God is just and there will be a day of justice, but it's a day. God's favor is a year. What a contrast. People need to know what God is really like, and the Spirit helps us to show that to them. As Spirit-filled believers, we are called to do the same things that Jesus did. And so let's be people of the Spirit, people who are baptized with, filled with, anointed with, and walking with the Spirit, people with wisdom and understanding and wise counsel and supernatural power, with knowledge and skill, and people who fear the Lord. Then, with these spiritual attributes, let's follow the example of Christ, and again, let's be people of the Spirit, people who tell the good news in word and action, people who heal the brokenhearted, who offer freedom to those in bondage, who open blinded minds to the truth of the kingdom, people with spiritual power for healings and miracles, and people who proclaim in speech and in action who God really is. Let's be people of the Spirit. I want you to be a Spirit-filled believer. Not just a believer. I mean, that's great, but let's be a Spirit-filled believer. Because all this stuff is the power of the Spirit at work in us. We need the Holy Spirit. So let's be people of the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Lead us in the song. Let's stand, please.
Must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill
fire, fan into
Yes, Lord. That's our prayer. Holy Spirit, fill us again and again and again. Fall fresh in this place, God. Lord, we're looking for you, for more of you. Help us to be people of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, walking with the Spirit, doing the things that the Spirit instructs us to do. Help us, God. Lord, become a consuming fire in us. It takes us beyond just a little flicker, but that we might become a blazing fire for you. Pour your Spirit on us, God, we pray. Thank you, Lord.